Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what? We're back and the NBA party train keeps moving. Exactly. You thought we wouldn't be back, but guess what?
We they said we'd never make it to episode 19.
But yes, let's not digress. We are going to check in on the latest rumors with Russell Westbrook, maybe a career change for Dwight Howard. We'll also talk about what's going on with LeBron, Draymond, Colin Sexton, and probably get through our Mad Boosties winner of the dunk of the season, because it is dunk week for the NBA. And who better to do it with than today's guest? We have SB Nation's NBA editor, Harrison Fagan. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Okay, see, that was pretty sync.
Yeah, I'm like perfectly on sync. Yeah. Okay, wild. Yeah. Like we had a mind meld at that moment.
Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome. We got Harrison Fagan in the building. Harrison, welcome to Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me. I got to say, that was weirdly specific trash talk at the beginning for someone to say that you wouldn't make it to episode 19. Like, yeah, I feel like if somebody would have said, like, you guys won't make it 20 episodes,
yep,
that would have been, you know, like more boilerplate. They really got specific on you. Yeah. They're like, no. There's no way you guys can put up with each other for more than 18 episodes.
You know, what can I say? It's just a mother's intuition. That's what she constantly
over
says.
Under.
Yeah, I'm like, if that's what you're feeling, Mom, maybe. She's like, you're lucky. You get to 19. I was like, why 18. Are you talking like that? Like you're an old gumshoe film. But yeah.
You played her the first episode and she said, I give it 18 episodes.
You showed her, though. You know,
I did.
In
look
your
at
face,
me,
Mom.
I'm here. But Harrison, first identify yourself. You're a longtime NBA fan. Is there a specific team that you've kept your eye on over the years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think anybody who's even a little bit aware of my work, like, would probably know that, you know, it's definitely, it's been Lakers for me for the majority of my life. Yeah.
Grumble.
I grew up, you know, in Orange County, about an hour south of Los Angeles, fell in love with the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. You know, never thought that I would do this as a career. I was actually in community college studying psychology, wanted to be a teacher, ended up just like getting to the point where I was doing research methods and stats, and I was just like, this is too much math for me. It's time to become an NBA sports writer who has to look up like NBA.com stuff all the time. That's about the level of math that I can do. Right. And I found a niche. I just kept blogging, and then eventually, yeah, now I'm here, and I covered the Lakers since like 2013, I want to say, and then until this spring, I was promoted to SB Nation NBA editorial manager. So now I oversee all of our 30 team sites, and I have to pretend that I like all of the teams equally. That's not true, but I have to pretend it legally.
Yeah, you're a professional. You can you know how to keep a job. I think that's what's important for
sure. Yeah, exactly.
What team's the hardest to pretend that they're equal to the Lakers for you?
You already know.
Is it? It's who we think it is.
Yeah, it's definitely the Minnesota Timberwolves.
wow.
It's the Celtics.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of true for me too. I'm not a big Celtics fan. That's probably the team I have the hardest time rooting for. I'm not going to say I root against them. I'm going to say I have the hardest time rooting for them because I love the game.
Yeah,
that's
how I should phrase it. I root for all of them, you know, equally, except the Celtics. It's really hard, but
I
do.
Exactly. Yeah, you're sort of like Lucille Bluth, where you're like, I love all my children equally, and you're like, I don't care for Job. privately.
Yeah, exactly. Like when you cut away to me in the confessional, I'm like, I hate the Celtics.
I don't care for Job. Sure.
Yeah. Otherwise, publicly, I love them.
Of course.
But I'll be honest with you guys, this isn't going out anywhere.
No. Well, if my mom's predictions are accurate, absolutely nobody. So. You know, considering your proximity to the Lakers and just checking on things over there, Russell Westbrook.
Wait, I do just want to say up top, we're going to talk about Bill Russell's passing and his career and his amazing, you know, I'm actually going to bring my dad in. I actually interviewed my dad for 8 minutes. He used to coach the Celtics. So we are, because I think this first segment is going to be very Lakers centric. Like we're going to be working inside the mind palace of a Lakers fan as we talk through these trades. I think that you need to orient yourself. So don't worry, Celtics fans or just NBA fans who aren't exclusively Lakers fans, just you should know it'll be over soon, and we'll be able to move on. But we do have to talk about these supposed Westbrook trades that have suddenly become possibilities over the past couple weeks.
So I'm curious, Harrison, what's your take? And according to SI, the Jazz, Knicks, and Pacers have expressed interest in potentially working out a deal that involves taking Westbrook and his contract. Now, do you think at this stage teams are looking to add Russ, you know, just as an expiring deal to buy out? Or you think either of those teams actually might be considering having him play out the contract?
Yeah, no, I think pretty much at this point, he's probably seen as like a guy that you would buy out because you have to pay him anyway. You get a little bit of savings on the back end because he works out his, you know, as we see with all these buyouts around the league, guys, like they have their agent figure out what they can get from other teams. They work out a buyout for like around that much less. Saves the current team some money, you know, lets them recoup their amount of money while picking their next destination. That is my guess of what will happen with the Westbrook saga. I don't think that like the Jazz, you know, are clearly kind of getting set to go in the tank for this upcoming draft after trading Rudy Gobert. They're going to trade Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't think that they want Russell Westbrook like helping them sneak in a few extra wins while they try to develop these young guys, whatever, like trying to recoup his own value. Like, I just don't see that as something that's happening, just as an example of one of those teams. So I do think that it's more of like these teams are going to trade for him. If they do, it's going to be to get off of long-term money and give the Lakers some players that maybe aren't on their timeline, but can help the Lakers win now maybe a little bit more than Westbrook can.
Right.
So who are the Lakers like looking at in such a scenario? Are they just getting out of the deal, or what, like, do the Jazz have something to offer the Lakers? I am admittedly allergic to the trade machine, so I actually don't know how any of this works. In such a scenario, are the Lakers getting something back?
Yeah, so my guess would be that if the Jazz were involved, it would probably be as like a third team to take Westbrook and like send something to, you know, the team that the Lakers want guys from or something like that. The Pacers, you know, also might be a third team or just a straight up team. You know, if they're getting like Miles Turner and
Buddy
Hield back, you know, something like that. Maybe the Jazz could facilitate as a third team there. Or, you know, that maybe they could work with the Pacers straight up, or work with Brooklyn straight up, or work the Jazz in as a third team. Then, you know, the Knicks probably wouldn't be a third team for the Nets, but they might be some sort of like facilitation team with this cap space that they have if they can't work out a Donovan Mitchell trade. Like, there's a variety of ways that that could go. But yeah, I think that, you know, with the Jazz specifically, they would probably be looped in as a third team. And the Lakers, you know, they, as far as what they want, like, I think they do want to get off of Russ and, you know, not have to pay that gigantic salary and not just have him around. Like, that's pretty clearly from everything that we've seen this summer and everything that we saw at his exit interview. And, you know, like the entirety of last season, that is not a feasible option for the Lakers to have him on their roster. And I think that right now, the reason that you haven't seen a trade yet is all of these other teams know that and know that the Lakers need to get off of his deal. And so are saying, give us everything you have because you can't possibly take this guy into camp. And the Lakers are like, well, maybe we can. You should stop us. And like sort of projecting this, oh no, we're just going to run it back. It's fine. Darvin Ham's going to make Russell Westbrook into like the 3-and-D point guard that we need to fit right around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so I think the Lakers are holding out, hoping that they can get Kyrie after all this KD stuff kind of shakes out, because that's clearly the option that LeBron wants. But, you know, also looking at options like, you know, you see the Hornets as a team with like maybe Gordon Hayward, if they're ready to get off of him and his kind of long-term money. You look at Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, who are both like, you know, probably not in the Pacers' plans beyond this year. And Buddy Hield, like a little bit probably overpaid for what he provides, and not like the greatest contract longer term than Westbrook. So you're saving the Pacers some money there. These are kind of the motivations that, you know, you're looking for when you're trying to find a Westbrook landing spot, is like these veterans that are making a decent amount of money for teams that are probably trying to rebuild and might just would, maybe they'd rather have a Lakers first or two Lakers first or whatever it may be.
So as Lakers fans, what are the sugar plums dancing in you guys' head? Is it Kyrie? Is it Donovan? What are you hoping to?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think Donovan Mitchell would be someone that Lakers fans would love, but I don't see that happening. They don't have like the assets to outbid the Knicks for him. So I think it would be, you know, it's definitely Kyrie, I think, is at the top of the majority wish list, just because he, you know, for his problems, you know, like being not really being available via health or via personal choice, you know, and not wanting to, you know, suit up and not necessarily always wanting to play basketball, you know, he is a much, much better on-court fit with LeBron and Anthony Davis than Russell Westbrook is. And so as kind of mercurial as he might be, he is someone that I think is high up on Lakers fans' wish list, just because he provides the type of skill set that you can squint and look at that team and talk yourself into, okay, they are a contender. They're probably not the favorite, but they're a contender now just because they have these three guys that are so good and fit so well together. And hopefully they're all healthy at the right time in the playoffs and they can kind of make it through a run.
It's the squinting that's the problem with us, though. We squint a lot.
The only way Lakers can get back to contention is if you squint a little bit. Like, no, right. None of these trades get them back into, like, oh, man, they're the Vegas favorite.
Immediately.
Or something like that. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, I could, you know, I could kind of see that working out. They got some pieces that kind of maybe fit. And if everybody stays healthy, yeah.
Right, for sure. Well, let's move on to some more serious news. Bill Russell passed away over the weekend, the 11-time champion, Hall of Famer. Passed away at the age of 88.
I hadn't realized. So there's so many great articles written kind of eulogizing him and talking about his career. I hadn't realized the Celtics didn't even make it to the finals until he was on the Celtics. And then they, you know, 11-time winners. But like, for some reason, I had it in my mind that like the Celtics dominance was in some way not like brought by him.
And that it was not pre-existing.
Yeah, no. They hadn't even made the finals.
No, right. That you thought it was pre-existing greatness prior to his arrival.
Yeah. So that was just one of the details that I feel like I had wrong. So I'm on vacation right now. You might hear a little bit more laid back, distracted Jack coming to you with my family. And when Bill Russell passed, my dad, who used to coach the Celtics, was like, the day that I resigned as Celtics coach, Bill Russell called me and I talked to him for like 2 hours, which is I don't think I've ever talked to anyone for 2 hours on the phone. I was like, how are you just telling me this right now? So I wanted to talk to my dad about this. I actually hadn't even thought to do that. So producer Jabari was like, maybe for your NBA podcast that you do. I was like, oh, okay.
He's like, what would my dad know? He coached the Celtics? Oh, right, right, right. Yeah. Okay.
I will say my big takeaway is it's weird to interview your father. First of all, because I had his Wikipedia page up in front of me while I was interviewing him. Like, I wanted to get the date of the seasons he was coaching the Celtics right. I also couldn't remember if it was Jim O'Brien or O'Ryan. I would get that wrong, but
what?
I just checked a date, but then I left it up during the interview, which is
right.
Which is just would have been embarrassing if it was anyone else. But I just asked him a couple anecdotes from his time just getting to know Bill Russell. So we can play that clip. But before we do, anything that jumped out to you guys from the articles that were written about him?
Yeah, the undefeated in elimination games stat was like astounding. You know, like we talk about clutch guys and stuff like that, and like who's the most clutch player in NBA history. That might be like one of the most incredible clutch stats I have ever heard. Now, again, like his team in probably a lot of those situations was like the better one and had went to a game seven, but still, like, to never lose a game seven or like any sort of elimination game in any tournament at any level of basketball is like, that's insane.
Right. Miles, anything you want to?
Bill Russell's like one of those guys, right? When I was younger, I didn't know about him until the 50th anniversary of the league. I mean, I didn't really bother to know about him until the 50th anniversary of the league. And I remember that was like a huge significant turning point for my like knowledge about basketball, like NBA history in general. And when I looked, I was almost like angry that he was so good and was even like a player coach and like basically had done everything. I didn't realize he was the first African American to even coach a professional team.
Yeah.
And he's done so much on and off the court. And I just look at the way his influence, you know, still affects like players that we see in the league today and how much the players that we see who are like advocating for, you know, like a better just society or future, like you're essentially modeling Bill Russell, like whether you know it or not. And I think, you know, it's we're very lucky to have like these sort of gigantic figures like that who were absolute legends in every single dimension of their being. And yeah, it's a tremendous loss. And I, you know, like I said, you know, you got to give respect where it's due. And there's no way you could look at Bill Russell and say anything but this man is excellence personified.
Yeah. And he was doing all that stuff at a time when it was much less popular than it is today.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, some of those stories about what he and his family went through.
He signed with the Celtics 2 years after Brown v. Board of Education was decided.
Yeah.
Like, and that's his proximity to all of the, you know, societal changes that were going on at that time. So,
yeah. Something that our culture is kind of memory hold is the Boston busing riots, but that was like the 70s. That's something everybody should go look up, read about, because that was much later than I think our culture assumed these sorts of things were happening. But
right.
Yeah, all of this stuff is more recent than you realize, or like, yeah. than we think about frequently in terms of like, I was reading one of the remembrances from Tom Ziller, who publishes his own newsletter, Good Morning, It's Basketball.
Yeah.
You know, he had one where he was talking about, you know, back during his playing career, like the civil rights leader, I'm forgetting the name, asked Bill Russell to come down to the South and basically put on an integrated basketball camp. And he had no like obligation to come down and do this, and was still like went down, had to have security because the KKK was assembling across the street from this basketball camp to try and intimidate people out of going to it. And he still went. And there was like someone every night when he slept in this undersized hotel bed, there was somebody sitting next to him with a rifle as the last line of defense to defend him. And like, this is how much this guy was willing to put it on the line to try and like advocate for his principles, and just like an incredible, incredible human being.
Yeah.
All right. Let's throw to a break. We'll come back. We'll go right into me talking to my dad, and then we'll come out of that. A few last words about Bill Russell, and then we'll move on. We'll be right back.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan, we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
All right, Dad. So, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
I've never recorded you on mic before. I've never interviewed my dad. So this is exciting. So you were the head coach of the Boston Celtics from 2001 to 2004. Took them to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you know this, but just setting the scene for people, you're also head coach of your hometown Sixers 04-05 season with Allen Iverson near the height of his powers. Took them to the playoffs, coached the Pacers from 07 to 2011, but I wanted to talk to you about something that I heard you say the other day that I had not known this, but when you resigned from the Celtics in the 04 season, you said that Bill Russell called you that day and you guys talked for a couple hours.
Yeah, I had a great conversation with Russ, the former Celtics, you know, Bill Russell, Cousy, Heinsohn, all these guys were very, very generous with their time. And I had gotten to know Bill Russell over the years that I was there with the Celtics. And he was always very generous with his time and his advice and funny guy. And we had a great conversation. And some of the things I remember about that conversation were that he would adjust whatever he had to do to give the Celtics what they needed on any given year. So, instance, when they had Casey Jones at the point guard spot, he was a great defensive player, not so much a great offensive player. So Russell decided he just needed to score more points that particular year to give them the best chance to win the championship. And when Cousy was the point guard, a funny story that Russell had told me was he grabbed Cousy early on and he said, you know, Bob, you're a great ball handler, but you just are horrible horrible defensively. He said, so you can't keep your guy in front of you. So what I want you to do is make sure he beats you, which he'll do often, to the offensive player's left hand. And as soon as he beats you, run to half court on the left side and I'll throw you the basketball. So, which would give you an idea of how what its prowess was defensively.
Yeah, he was just, you were saying the other day that he would just look at his roster and decide how many points he had to average that season, which I think, you know, it's almost like the least amount of scoring he could do to give his team the best chance at winning. And so, you know, the one constant was how dominant he was defensively. And that's never, nobody on your team or anywhere is ever going to begrudge you for being a great defensive player, but you know, he was a player coach. So getting everybody involved was important to him, it sounds like.
You know, people talk about Russ being probably the greatest champion in the history of basketball. He may have been the best leader. You alluded to a couple of things about him deciding what was needed and be able to give it to him. But some of his teammates, Cousy and Heinsohn, would tell me little anecdotes about Russ. And if they were going through a bad period of time in a game or they had lost one game, he would go into a huddle at a timeout and look at the guys and say, okay, I clearly am screwing this up. You tell me what I need to do better. And it was a kind of a way of letting everybody else know that here's a guy that clearly wasn't screwing things up, that they were screwing it up, but he was taking the hit, and he would do whatever it took to win basketball games.
Yeah, like the buck stops with him. So even if he wasn't the one screwing it up, like he's like, you know, it's on me, it's on my shoulders. So you grew up a Sixers fan as they repeatedly got trounced by the Celtics, right?
Not necessarily trounced, but they would beat us every year when it mattered.
Right. What was it like for you at this like kind of pivotal point in your career to, I mean, did you ever, like, was it just ever surreal for you? Because I mean, Russell, I hadn't realized that Celtics never made the finals before Russell got there. So like he really was the Celtics dynasty. And now here you are years later, you're coaching the Celtics and, you know, just end your tenure there. And here's the guy who was such a huge part of that dynasty calling you. Was that surreal? Was that a kind of a weird moment, or are you just kind of in the moment and don't notice that sort of thing?
Well, I had gotten to know him pretty right. Well, you know, and a couple things as far as going from Philadelphia, growing up loving Philadelphia and having my heart broken seemingly every year when they had the press conference to announce Rick Pitino as the head coach. I was going to be his associate coach. I happened to be sitting next to Red Auerbach, who was, you know, we're indoors and he's smoking his big stogie as was his habit. And I said to him, I said, Red, you know, you broke my heart and you taught me how to cry about basketball. And he turned and he blew a big puff of smoke into my face. He goes, is that right? So, you know, other things about Russ that I found to be humorous, you know, there people had always talked about he would never go out and play a basketball game without first throwing up. And, you know, one time Auerbach is, you know, relaying a story to me saying that he's ready to, you know, send a team out. He hasn't even talked to the team and everyone's waiting around and Red's not opening his mouth. And he says to Russ, we're waiting on you, Russ. You haven't puked yet, so you better get there. And then Russ, a couple years later, when, you know, I was feeling the pressure of coaching the Celtics, and before the game, he said to me, you know what? You take this way too seriously. And I said, I'm talking to the guy that's telling me that, who had to throw up before every game. So it's kind of ironic that he would say that.
Did you ever try throwing up before the game? Just get it out, you know? I was just out on a boat with our brother-in-law. I think he could have used some of that. Just that's what the captain was saying. Get it out. Get it over with. Any other Russell stories? Bill Russell stories?
You know, Bill Russell, you know, everybody that had the opportunity to observe him on the basketball court knew how good he was defensively. But what few people know is that he would rarely practice. And he would rarely practice because, as Red Auerbach would say, nobody could get a shot off on the other team when he was on the court. He was that dominant, and dominant on the court, and just an iconic man off the court. And when he was playing in San Francisco, he told me a story, I think the day that I resigned, that his college coach told him that he never wanted him to leave his feet to block a shot. For whatever reason, it was back in the old days, he wanted him to stay down and not get pump fake. And I'm sure Russ didn't listen to him that much at that point in time. But we lost a great man.
Really, one of the greats. That's funny. That's like one of the things they tell you in elementary school: never leave your feet for a pump fake. And he's still bringing it up years later. All right. Well, Dad, Jim O'Brien. Coach O'Brien, thanks so much for talking to me. This was good. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Look forward to it, son.
All right. So that was me talking to my dad, Coach Jim O'Brien, about, you know, his conversations with Bill Russell. I'd say I had heard the thing that he threw up before every game. That's like one of the first things you hear in basketball, I think, especially if you're like a nervous person, they're like, no, man, don't worry about it. Bill Russell used to throw up before every game.
Totally normal.
Yeah. I'd say the anecdote that jumped out to me was that it sounds like he scored as little as he possibly could while his teams would still win, which is just like, I don't know, that makes sense of like his scoring kind of fluctuating, going up and down. And also just given what we know about like what actually makes a team win is like getting people involved offensively and people being willing to sacrifice to get other guys involved. And
yeah,
I feel like you almost couldn't have a career like that today because there's so much pressure from the media to, you know, every like box score is being scrutinized. And
right.
It takes a lot of, I don't know, just selflessness and just single-mindedly only caring about, you know, the final result of winning. I think LeBron kind of did that in a lot of ways for a large part of his career. And he got a lot of pushback from people being like, you take the final shot if you're the best player on the team. It's like, that doesn't really make sense.
And I was going to even further contextualize it, like they didn't track blocks until either like very late in his career or afterwards. Right. There were even less stats to kind of accumulate like while doing that approach. Like nowadays, like someone could do that and theoretically be like, okay, well, I blocked like three shots a game. Like my field goal percentage allowed at the rim is really low. Like you can show their value. Like they didn't have any of that stuff back.
Right.
It was all anecdotal. And so he just did it like, and you had to almost like look at his dominance by sheer word of mouth and I guess like rebounding statistics and stuff like right. that. Like, you know, there were the crazy stories about like the level of depth he saw the game in, and that like he would, you know, he would try and help his teams build up a lead against Wilt's teams and then just kind of let him score just enough so that he didn't start to like pick up on Bill's defensive tricks and he could employ them when he really needed to. It's just like, you know, it's the type of stuff that's wild. We on the outside never think about it on that level of like the stuff that these guys do and the mental games that they play. You know, just again, like incredible, like one of the highest basketball IQs we've probably ever seen.
I think just in general, to have that kind of intelligence to think of like, well, if I reveal this too many times to my opponent, then it becomes moot. In a way, I feel like, what is he like? Is Nathan Fielder the new Bill Russell?
Nathan like, Fielder.
Just playing like 4D chess.
Yeah, just
like
letting him run with it.
Yeah,
Bill Russell had a flowchart on his laptop of like different game outcomes. He's like, and stuff. Okay. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, okay, we win the tip off. Like, okay, all right, go
if
to
I
next.
Let Will get a couple righty hook shots. Like, I'm going to be able to block it the next time.
Yes,
he's going to be overconfident in it.
Yeah,
exactly. Chart. Exactly. All right, well, let's pivot in the paint to NBA Dunk Week.
It's Dunk Week.
Do do do.
did they really pick? Is it Shark? Is it also Shark Week? They did. Super
Shark
Brian
Week was last week.
Okay, so they're like,
but it could be,
like
I think it's two
themed weeks
now?
Right around now. All right,
I have no idea.
Mean, Shark Week is year round and in this household, but
no, I think it was last week. But who knows? All right. Look, it's all Shark Week to us. But more importantly, it is NBA Dunk Week, and we thought to celebrate, we should probably go over some of the top dunks of the year, and in no particular order. We'll play a quick clip so you can hear the audio. Jack or Harrison, would either of you want to do the color, the play-by-play to describe the dunk?
I would love to.
Okay. I was going to say I am not qualified for this. So yeah, you go for it.
So first, we will talk about this is, I mean, look, this is in no, I guess, is it a particular order?
Well, in my, they are in the order that I would have put them in, except maybe, I mean, we.
Well, here, then for the purpose of this, let's just say in no particular order.
Okay.
In sure. No particular order, let's look at some of the contenders.
No thought was put into it at all.
None.
No thought was put into this at all. There was no.
My flow chart. And,
no pre-planning done whatsoever or anything. No bits worked out because that's not what kind of podcast this is. But let's talk about the first dunk.
No.
The first one is Anthony Edwards over Gabe Vincent. This is from, I believe, November. This is earlier on in the season.
Right. This only gets honorable mention because I think they called a foul. Which,
got it.
At a certain point, you might just need to...
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, this is the one that Nate Duncan was trending afterwards because he was like, yeah, you know, it's not that great of a dunk. He pushed off or something like that. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I could have done it. I see what Nate's talking about. I could have done that. But that's a thing.
I feel like if you're a ref and you call a foul on that, you should be suspended.
Right. For denying us just that kind of dunk.
What Gabe Vincent does here is the equivalent of jumping on a hand grenade because Anthony Edwards is a clear lane to the basket. Vincent rotates all the way from the other side. He has the shooter in the corner, in the opposite corner, gets in front of it, does take a charge, but I think gets there a little late because his feet aren't set before.
His feet definitely look like they're moving.
His feet are moving as Anthony Edwards is already gliding through the air. But
it's powerful.
It is a work of beauty. Jumps from way too far away, gets to the rim and dunks it, which I guess can't fully be said about our next one, the Embiid over Jared Allen.
Okay.
Because I think he just like kind of throws it as hard as he can into the basket. I don't know if his fingers actually ever touch the net, but... I remember where I was when this happened.
Okay. Set this up for us, Jack.
Late Thursday night. I was in a bad place.
2 days before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, tell us how you were feeling, you know?
This might have been when the Sixers fans were waiting for Harden to, like, Harden was still hurt but had been traded already. And we, you know, our hopes were the highest they'd be all season. Embiid misses a free throw. We get the offensive board, and then he takes two steps, and his shoulders are above the rim as he just throws the ball downwards over Jared Allen.
Here he goes. Okay, now
it's the rare he does dunk it. Where, like, sometimes the player who is being dunked over looks like they stepped on a hand grenade. This is the rare one where Embiid flies backwards when he dunks it. He dunks it with such force that it's his body can't believe what just happened.
I mean, also, Jared Allen's a sturdy man, you know? All due respect to Gabe Vincent, but he's, a little stockier, a little larger impediment. I like these dunks like this because we so rarely see a guy throw it through the rim like that with that level of kind of violence and flair. And yeah, I mean, I have a soft spot for those.
I do too. And that has nothing to do with the fact that I am a Sixers fan.
No. Objectively, I think it's great.
All right, we can move past this one. This is Jaylen Brown dunking over somebody. This is Dallas, I guess. Dallas, Boston. Kind of a nice crossover between the legs. Splits the double team, Jaylen Brown. And dunks it over Kleva. Yeah. It's,
I'm going to say not that impressive,
Not that impressive. It's, it's, I guess, one of those ones where it's, 1v1, who's going to come out on top, but.
It is only 1v1 because he split a double team with a between legs dribble. That's the thing about Jaylen Brown is like people will talk about him not having a good handle and then he will have a dribble move that is like what did he just black out there? What if he's not a good dribbler? What exactly is this?
That's just him attacking the rim. And I think, he's doing what he needs to do. I mean, it's not like the fanciest move, but yeah, it's efficient in that he just, rendered those two defenders completely
takes off
useless.
From a great distance, throws it down.
Okay, what about another one? I think a lot of people need to keep their eye on this Russell Westbrook guy, okay? And I know we're talking about some teams that are interested. May I offer you this dunk over Rudy Gobert?
Send this to the Pacers repeatedly. Just be like, look at this. He's,
Their bench is just 2 out of 12. He's at the top of the key and just...
All by himself.
Violence. But so I was going to say earlier that the Embiid over Jared Allen was the best defender that is getting, going up to meet the dunker at the rim. But I mean, Gobert is all-time great defender. And Russ, this is just violence.
Yeah, what is he? He's like a four-time defensive player of the year, three-time, something like that,
Yeah.
Like, I think, again, NBA teams might be undervaluing this guy. Russ just took him one-on-one. And
you're getting a steal
him.
Of a deal here.
Yeah.
I mean,
Should be giving the Lakers first-round picks for this guy. Don't look up any other clips from last year. Don't look up anything else. Just this clip.
He does dunk from inside the circle at the free throw line. Like, it is...
Oh, it's impressive. It's shocking.
Russ is still an incredible athlete. He's not like what he was, in his prime. He's still, there were moments like this last season where you could still see it. Like, he's still an amazing athlete. It's just not the greatest, sometimes he was missing these dunks.
It's a little difficult. Okay, let's move on to another one.
I'd say these are the two finalists. I could put these in either order at one or two.
Okay.
So this is Andrew Wiggins dunking over Luka.
And this is game three. We talked about this one. It's another one where someone decided to go straight up and may have regretted that decision.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins.
Here comes Wiggins.
Wiggins.
Oh! Now,
they did call a charge in the moment. I think just based on
it's not a offensive
the
foul
fact that it,
Andrew Wiggins, nor is it a
seemed like
foul
a.
on Luka Doncic. But
I mean, he does kind of
punch
him in the face, like as he's going by, but
it's kind of like you don't want this.
I don't know that he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And it also slowed down. I think it is Luka selling it.
I remember the still image of this was like Luka actually like pulling a face and like cowering. It felt very like trying to have a big reaction to get the official's attention, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But a fantastic moment. I think that's
considering the stakes too of like it's a playoff game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of the season, which is that Andrew Wiggins comes on and suddenly is playing like the best possible version of Andrew Wiggins.
Luka is all the people that like doubted Andrew Wiggins. He's like, I am doubting that you can jump from this far and still dunk on me. And Andrew Wiggins was like, no, I can when I try sometimes.
So I think other podcasts might have that as the dunk of the year because the story of the year for them is who wins the title. The story of the year for me is this fellow Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And his dunk in game five versus the Timberwolves, round one. So not as momentous as the Wiggins dunk in terms of, playoff, import, but they're down 13 at this point. After he dunks this, this is the game where he like just couldn't be stopped, right? He just
decided
this
like kicks
to
score it all
will.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is also just one of the coolest things I've ever seen a human being do with a human body.
Yeah, this one's clean.
Winner takes a 3-2 lead in this opening round.
Coming
from the top of the key.
Goes through four people and then.
And if you haven't seen this, it's like an anime dunk or something where like I could see
it
like
charges up.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you did this in an anime, like everything would black out. It would just be Ja and Beasley, and then you would see like streaks of light coming off his feet. He like elevates 10,000 feet into the air and then comes crashing back down to earth.
Yeah, he basically like touches the ground again with the ball. He cocks his arm so far back and then finishes it. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I was going to half jokingly like stand for the Westbrook one as the number one, just, like he deserves it, but yeah, you know, after watching the Jaw one again, it's got to be.
I think you guys are being a little too narrow-minded. I think this Russell Westbrook guy, again, if you are the Jazz, the Knicks, the Pacers, check this video
out. The Nets.
I mean, that's my. It's got the Mad Boosties dunk of the season. Okay. Yeah. Got to be worth something. Okay. Well, thank you so much for playing along. You tell us if we missed a dunk, but I think that Ja Morant dunk is.
You think that Ja Morant dunk is the moment when Tim Connelly was like, I got to give up 97 first round picks for Rudy Gobert. He would have stopped that. You know, like, I can't watch this anymore. I need a large human near the rim.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is going to be harder to do on the Timberwolves this year.
Unless you watch the Russ clip like three clips back. But
exactly.
Right. I am starting to get excited about the Timberwolves this season.
Oh, I am too.
They're going to be interesting at the very least. I'm curious to see how it works. I don't know that I'm like all the way on board with they're going to be amazing yet, but I want to watch it. I like that they're a team that's doing something different.
The three teams I'm most excited to watch this next season are the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves, and the Pelicans. And that wasn't the case 5 years ago. So that's kind of, we're in a new league. I'm very excited about this.
Who'd have thought? All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to finish this thing out with the rapid fire questioning round.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan, we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
And we're back.
The rapid fire questioning round, the fastest way that we could think of to say that name.
Rapid fire question round of questioning with our guest, Harrison Fagan.
Oh, man.
Really drove
that.
That'd
be a great bit if you guys just did that and like the name was longer than the actual segment. You're just
no,
like,
we would never do something
round
like
of questioning. Should the Lakers trade Westbrook? I'm like, no. And then you're like, okay, that was
all right. That was our rapid fire round of questioning.
Whoa. All right, man. But get ready, because again, Harrison, like we say, we like to ask our guests just respond reflexively. Now, we change things up for this time. It's going to be a either or would you rather type situation.
Okay.
So Just respond as quickly as you can to the questions that are put in front of you. That way we can keep this rapid fire round of questions to a very short, concise, and economical content package for the listener. Okay, start the clock.
Which clock? Oh, right. That's just a thing you said at the beginning of the rapid fire.
For the rapid fire round of questions.
Got it. Okay. For the rapid fire round of questions.
You want to go first or should I go first? I'll go first.
I'll go. Oh, yeah,
let's do rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go first. Ready?
One, two, three.
Shoot. Is that?
We both did.
Oh, wow.
Double scissors. Oh, wow. Okay. Here we go.
Rock, one,
paper,
two,
scissors.
Three. Shoot.
Shoot.
What do you got? Rock.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
One,
rock,
two,
paper, scissors.
Scissors.
Shoot.
Shoot.
You scissored me timbers again. Okay. Rock, paper,
scissors.
Shoot.
You got me.
Got it.
I didn't have the fortitude.
Restart the clock.
The clock's already going.
Get ready.
Actually,
Harrison will blow
right
by you.
Did we just get a note on that? Was the clock already going or do we need to restart the clock, Brian?
Do I need to reclaim my time?
I'm going to reclaim my time.
I think we're good. Oh, he said we're good. Okay, fantastic.
Jabari. Super producer Jabari hates this segment.
Okay, here we go.
Start the clock.
Harrison, would you rather have the ability to dunk all over someone and anybody, like Kemp, you know, over Ja, Style, or...
Huh? Sorry. I screwed that up. Actually.
Kemp or...
I thought it was Kemp or... someone,
Kemp,
but it was Kemp over
Liston.
Okay,
we can still keep this in. Start the clock. Harrison, would you rather have the ability to dunk all over someone Kemp over Liston Style or have unlimited range?
Definitely. I feel like the dunks. Yeah, I don't know if it's just because we just watched a bunch of dunks, but I think the dunk thing. I just feel like the dunk thing is cooler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about being like the best player ever. I just want to have like great highlights.
As someone
who the NBA has endorsed as having mad boosties, I can say it's a little overrated, man. That range is pretty cool. I've always loved being able to just, you know, reach up and easily getting the bottom of the net whenever I wanted to. But that range would really come in handy. Unlimited range.
You'd want to hand out umbrellas at the gym when you
hit
the floor.
Yeah, I was never able to shoot, but I could touch rim in high school. So, it just would be nice to be able to dunk on people.
Okay, Harrison, you don't need to brag again. I just want to remind you, this is our podcast, and also this is a rapid fire question round. So
thank
if you.
My bad.
Speaking of dunks, in honor of it officially being the league's official dunk week, would you rather have Giannis drop the hammer on you in the post or have Morant put you on a poster as he takes off from just inside the free throw line?
Ja.
This is kind of like an erotic question. I like it.
Like, yeah, I like that too. Yeah, like which version?
Masochistic.
How dirty you want to get?
I just feel like if Giannis does it at my size, I'm going through the stanchion. So, and probably injuring myself. Where Ja, it'll be embarrassing, but I probably won't die.
Yes. Would you, if you knew in the moment, would you make a face because you knew you're going to be on a poster to like also kind of get some shine? Where you're like, hey, you know, Ja got that dunk, but Harrison's face, it's kind of makes the poster.
Become a meme? Yeah, I think I am not that expressive of a person in regular life, but I feel like if that was happening, I probably would, and I would get
Has anyone ever, that might be like new ground to break, while they're being dunked over, like made eye contact with the camera and like made a like, oh, brother,
like a Jim Halpert
face.
Right. Off to the camera. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Or like a Scorsese film where it's like, you're probably wondering how I got here.
I've got a note for the Pirtles of the world.
Sorry.
Hot mic, they're like, ah, man. Like, you know.
Golly, again? Gosh. Not again. Okay, sorry. Jack, that was on you that time. We've got to keep it rapid. Yeah. Harrison, would you rather be able to attend the next three finals series or be able to go back in time to witness any single finals matchup?
Probably the next three, just because I've already seen how the other ones go.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like
that. You're not impressed by time travel, huh? You're just...
No.
Okay.
I mean, all I get to do is go watch the finals, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like I can go back and... Well, I guess, can I gamble
you could.
On that?
Hold on.
I feel like...
That's a good question.
That's why I got to be clever about this question.
Yeah.
It's not just about going to the finals.
Never mind. I'm
going
to go back and gamble on Lakers, Celtics 2010 Game 7. Just like...
Yes. And then you win enough money to get tickets and plane tickets to the next three finals.
When I come back. Yeah.
Right. All right. Harrison has won the rapid fire, but we'll just do the rest of these to run it out. But yeah, word to fifth. You got the right answer there. Would you rather have your team win three of the next five titles and then have to endure 10 years of futility where you don't even make the playoffs? Or would you rather have your team win one title and have a really competitive team that falls just short for the next decade? Deep runs, no cigar.
You know, my specific era of Lakers basketball has definitely prepared me for the first one. So, yeah, I'm saying the first one all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a team that's really good for, like, even just, like, 1 year and then, like, sucks for 10. Just hypothetically, you know.
I mean, the Randy Fund years, I was living off of old memories for a while. So, it happens. That's how we stay. That's how we stay alive. Okay, moving on. Final question. Harrison, Clippers win the title or the Celtics win the title?
Clippers.
Okay, thank you. That's great.
Is that a prediction or is that just like what you would rather?
Rather. I guess both, but yeah.
Clippers, I mean, you'll take. All right.
Yeah.
You didn't like how rapid that answer was, huh, Jack?
No. I actually didn't understand the question. So I wanted
I assume
a little
you were
more clarity.
Asking which would I prefer?
Yeah, which would you prefer?
Yeah.
Clippers.
Yeah.
Yes. Without question. Good man.
Yeah. Actually, we got to keep that.
Yeah.
Let him get one. Yeah.
And I like that answer because the Lakers fans relationship to the Clippers has never sat right with me. I think Lakers fans need to be nicer to the Clippers.
I think so. I agree with that too. But
no, retweeted them winning mascot of the year today. You know, that's look.
Hey.
Sometimes your little brother, you know, gets like a perfect attendance award or something. You gotta recognize that.
We love that. We love that. Well, Harrison, thanks so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Where can people, you know, check out your work and support you and follow you and all that?
You know, you can check out the Silver Screen and Roll podcast, which I'm still doing, I guess. I don't know how much longer I'm still doing that because I'm not writing anymore. But yeah, and then, you know, just follow me on Twitter at HMFagan. And then just check out all the, you know, if you have a favorite team, we have an SB Nation blog for you. So go check those out. And yeah, that's all I got to plug.
Fantastic. Amazing, man. It was great having you.
Yeah.
I didn't love the brag that you could touch rim in high school.
I mean, I'm 6'4". It's not that impressive, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, all right,
like
man.
My
you
whole
gotta
thing
really get
is
it
that
then.
Like I have Matt Boosties on this show, but I could only touch net. So it's like,
oh well, I didn't even. I'm sorry for
yeah. No, and that's okay, and that's on us. And we should prepare the guests to not.
Yeah, that was like a Russell Westbrook on Rudy Gobert level poster that I just like inadvertently did on you. I apologize.
Yeah,
no, it's all right. I'm just gonna hear it for the next week, but it's all good. All right, well,
never
thanks,
bring
y'all.
That Harrison guy back again.
What did I say about bringing people on who could jump higher than me? And
you
that goes for TDZ too.
You absolutely burned
like
me.
Writer that you have for your podcast. Like, you know, Miles has like, oh, like take out all the green Skittles in my face, like just all this stuff. Jack's right. Just like no one that can jump higher than me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Did he say he could grab rim? Okay, you know what? So you think I'm a joke, huh? Is that what's going on?
Wow. Thanks a lot for the humiliation, Super Producer Jabari. Wow.
Real great. Tough guy. We got real tough guys.
Real
on the
tough
show
guy.
I see what's going on here. All right, then.
That's my bad. I'm sorry. I thought I was being self-facing, but it turns out. Big brag on this podcast.
That is a huge brag on this podcast.
No, you're the best, man. Thanks so much.
I can't do it anymore. It makes you feel better.
No, not at all.
Okay, sorry. I tried.
All right. Thanks.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next time because there will be next time. Bye.
Bye.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.